We're going to take a little bit of a break from the book of Acts today and next week. But I think the book of Acts really set up kind of this idea pretty well at what I'm going to talk about today, unexpected Christmas. All of the things that we have seen in the book of Acts so far, the things that Peter, that Paul, that Barnabas have accomplished with the establishment of the church, so much of that, I think, even to those men, would have been totally unexpected. In the beginning, when they were all gathered together in an upper room and the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in different languages, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter, who had always kind of fumbled over his words, preached a sermon. 3,000 people come forward to get saved. And you just can't expect those kind of things. And I think that we see some of that same happening with the first Christmas, with Jesus' coming. It was, there was some talk about that a Messiah would come, that a Savior would come. But when was he going to come? You know, every day just kind of seemed to turn into another day. The Savior still hasn't come. And then all of a sudden, there was that one day when the Savior came. But then he came in a totally unexpected way. Not the way that I would have announced a Savior. You know, God would have had access to all of these angels who could have, you know, proclaimed to the world, a Savior is here, you know, and you should bow down to him and worship him and listen up. But instead, we have almost this unnoticed baby born in a barn in Bethlehem, and it kind of goes unnoticed for the most part. He lives then in relative obscurity for the next 30 years or so. And you think, you know, is that the way to announce a Savior? Is that the way that's not the way I would have done it. But it seems to have worked out all right. So, life is filled with the many things that are unexpected. And I think that from time to time, we all experience that. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not so good. It would be great if all the unexpected things in our lives were the kind of things that show up in a Hallmark movie, where the lawyer shows up at your house and tells you that some distant relative who you've never even heard of has left you as the sole inheritor of a ranch or a barn or farm where they raise exotic emus. Or maybe you're about to inherit a bookstore or a bakery where they make decadent sweet rolls. Or maybe he came to tell you that you are really a king or a queen, and that your coronation at the nation of Javalia is tomorrow, and we have a private jet waiting to whisk you off. Now, for some of you, that might be good news. For some of you, that might just seem like a lot of trouble. But these things, they do happen. Sometimes there is good things that happen in life. Sometimes, not so much. And it seems that as much as there are unexpected joys in our life, there are also unexpected problems. From a surprise birthday party to a plugged-up toilet, from a new birth to a broken relationship, life is filled with all kinds of things that are not necessarily planned for. And then at this time of year, we add to that the stress of the holidays. People coming and going, buying presents, all of that stuff. As we look at the original Christmas story, we see that Mary and Joseph also faced a lot of unexpected events, to say the least. There were visits from angels. Then there was a miraculous but also scandalous pregnancy. There was unexpected travel where they had to leave their home to go for the census. And then, of course, there was that birth in a barn. And then a bunch of strangers show up. And, you know, what does all of this mean? None of it could have been expected. It was not expected by Mary and Joseph, not expected by the shepherds. It was not expected, I don't think, by the majority of the nation of Israel. It was not expected by Herod and the Roman Empire. But it was expected by God. This was the plan. That original Christmas, I'm sure, would have been very difficult. Yesterday, Lita and I rang the bells at Tractor Supply for Good Neighbors to raise money for Delta County. And at times, there were lulls in the action. So I had the bell, and I was trying to play tunes and have Lita guess what song I was playing with the bell. Okay, she got Jingle Bells, but she missed Frosty the Snowman, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, Silent Night, and It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Pretty hard to play, I guess, with one bell, but she tried. Now, I suppose that most Bible scholars would have probably disagreed or would have had Mary and Joseph disagreeing with the lyrics of most of those songs, especially It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Initially, I think Joseph and Mary would have taken offense to that because of all the troubles and things that they were going through. And thinking, well, this is the most wonderful time of the year? I don't think so. But of course, in the end, we know that it worked out very well. For Joseph and Mary, there were no kids jingle belling and everyone telling them to be of good cheer. There were no parties for hosting, no marshmallows for toasting, no caroling out in the snow, and probably not much mistletoeing. So, As the original Christmas was difficult, Christmas seasons today can also have some very crazy, unexpected moments. Holiday seasons seem to amplify those feelings. One of my most memorable Christmases was not one of my best, but it was one that I seem to remember from time to time. There was never a Christmas that I remember that my mother did not cry. But when I was 6 years old, both of my grandmas died in December, just prior to Christmas. So then I went to my first two funerals, and I watched my parents cry. I watched my grandpa on my mom's side cry, and I watched him then give a speech about what a lousy husband he was and how he had taken his wife for granted and was never there for her. And I was very close to my grandpa. He was, in a sense, kind of my hero at that time. So it was very strange to watch him crying and giving this sobbing speech about being a lousy man. And then my mom, that same year, got into a fender bender. And my mom was emotional, and she came home just a wreck from being in this car accident the week before Christmas. And of course, I am worried through all of this about how this is going to affect my Christmas presents. So then my mom cries again. And so that was, you know, it was just a taste of the compounding of emotions and activity that happens at Christmas time, and then all of these things lumped on top of it. So maybe you are dealing with something unexpected right now, or maybe you're not. But if you're not now, you soon probably will be. So hang on. So when Jesus arrived, very little about that first Christmas was expected. Although we now see it in hindsight, And we can look back, and some of the things that we read in the Bible now fall into place and make sense for us. The people that were experiencing it at the time, it seems that they were rather clueless. They were not looking for a baby to be born. They were not looking for a baby to be born in Bethlehem. They were not looking for a Savior that was going to free them from sin. They were looking for someone who was going to rescue them from the oppression of Rome. So this story is filled with a lot of surprise. The characters are unexpected, the setting is unexpected, and the meaning of the story was totally unexpected. Looking at this young, innocent couple, Joseph and Mary, they are caught between what God has planned for them and what a tyrannical government has planned. Joseph and Mary are just living life. They are, and then out of nowhere, they are called to leave their hometown. Mary is, they're visited by angels. Mary finds herself pregnant. And now this little family would soon have the king of Israel after their lives. Herod was the king of the region of Judea. He was called Herod the Great, but he was not a very great man. What he desired more than anything else was power. In his quest for power, Herod had developed close ties with a Roman senator named Octavian. Octavian eventually became the emperor of Rome, and his name was changed to Augustus Caesar. Caesar is a title like president, so he was Augustus the Caesar. Rome captured the nation of Israel, and Augustus Caesar then set his friend Herod up as the king of Judea. Herod was hated by the Jews. He was a puppet of Rome. He was a descendant of Esau, an Edomite, who was a traditional enemy of the Jewish nation. He did not keep the Jewish law, and his behavior was oftentimes scandalous. He did not care about his people. He cared only about himself and in gaining and maintaining power. Herod was willing to kill for power, and in fact, he killed three of his own sons, who he thought were trying to usurp his power. He had another one of his sons disinherited and another one banished from the region, and he even killed one of his own wives, thinking that she was trying to gain a little too much power. So this is the Herod that appears in the Christmas story that we're going to read here. We're going to read from the story in Matthew chapter 2, and eventually we'll read the entire chapter here. We'll start with the first 8 verses, and this is when the Magi, the wise men from the east, following the star, come to the area. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Herod was a liar. he was exhibiting who his true leader was, who his true follower was. We find this in John chapter 8, verse 44. In this passage, Jesus is talking to some religious leaders, but he could have very well been talking directly to Herod. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Herod had no intention of going there to worship Jesus. He only wanted to find out where this rival king was so that he could do away with him. Matthew tells us that Herod was disturbed when he heard that a child was born who would become king of the Jews. This struck him, struck a nerve to his narcissism, to his greed and his ego. He was a very insecure man, as those type of people tend to be. And in his insecurity, he wanted to lash out and do away with this rival. So now the Magi are oftentimes seen in Christmas plays and pageants. You have three guys in bathrobes that walk up carrying gifts. And they play a story, and you know, they play a part in those stories. But one part that usually is left out is the part where they inadvertently tell Herod of the presence of a baby who is destined to be king. Herod tries to have the Magi do his dirty work for him. He tells them to go and search out where this child is, that I too may go and worship him. But you will notice, and we have a nativity set here, that there is no little figurine of Herod the Great kneeling there by the manger of Jesus. Herod did not want to do, worship Jesus, and as we will soon see, he wanted to do quite the opposite. So here we have Joseph and Mary. They are literally doing nothing illegal or even seditious. There's no reason that the government should be concerned about them. They are just doing their best to live their life, to love each other, and to honor God. There were probably no two people on earth at that time that were more in the center of God's will than were Joseph and Mary. They were the parents of Jesus himself, the earthly parents of Jesus himself. They were doing exactly at that time what God had for them to do. And yet, there was a king in Judea who was sharpening his sword to do away with them. It was not what was expected. So now, maybe in your own life, there is some sort of unexpected villain. Maybe it's a person, maybe even a loved one, maybe a boss or a coworker, maybe a neighbor that is that you're not getting along with for some reason or another. Or maybe it's not a person. Maybe it's a feeling of depression. Maybe it's a bad habit. Maybe it's the fear of failure, or maybe it's the fear of the past that you're feeling guilty about something. Maybe it's a sickness or an illness or some loss that you have experienced. Or maybe it's our society, our culture, the world itself right now that seems to be spinning out of control. Often these unexpected villains that come into our life are completely out of our control. So we do not need to be attacking ourselves. We do not be needing to tear ourselves down or to blame ourselves. And yet, we often do. We find that when there's an unexpected divorce, the kids blame themselves. When someone passes away, those left behind feel the guilt of not doing enough, like I watched my grandpa do. Perhaps at times there are physical problems that are out of your control, financial problems that are out of your control due to the economy. Then something happens on top of that where your car breaks down or something, and you find yourself calling yourself a loser. Oh, I'm just never going to get ahead. I'm such a rotten person. When really, in fact, it's just that you are a victim of uncontrollable circumstances. Yes, we do need to take responsibility for the things that we can, but often, many of the things that happen in our lives are out of our control, and they're unexpected. But know that God can handle the unexpected. We read this, continue reading our story in Matthew chapter 2, 9 to 15. So the Magi leave King Herod, and after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw his mother Mary and bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord has said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." So when the villain Herod unexpectedly planned to destroy the child, God revealed his unexpected plan. God always has a plan. The Magi had come to worship the Messiah. They opened their treasures before him, and God warned them in a dream to go home a different way. He warned them about Herod's plan, and he protected Jesus by telling the Magi to go home a different way. And then the Lord spoke to Joseph and told him, "I want you to take the child and escape to Egypt for the child's safety." This would have been a trip of about 400 miles. So this was quite an undertaking for Mary, Joseph, and the young baby, but that's what God had them do. The plan was unexpected to the Magi. It was unexpected to Joseph. It was unexpected to Mary, but it was not unexpected by God. Your villains will never get one over on God. Nothing catches our God off guard. In fact, God can use the plans of the wicked to coronate the righteous. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says this, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." God is in control. God really can do anything. So Joseph left that very night. He traveled with his wife and baby Jesus to the faraway land of Egypt. Like I said, 400 miles. The valuable gifts that they had been given by the Magi probably came in handy for this long trip and for their stay in Egypt that provided for them. So even the gifts that the Magi brought were part of God's unexpected plan. And God has unexpected gifts for you as well. And gifts that are not just symbolic. These gifts are your currency to help you through life. He has gifted you with everything that you need through every one of your difficulties. And the greatest of those gifts is his presence with you himself. So Mary, Joseph, and Jesus are safe in Egypt. Meanwhile, back in Bethlehem, Herod the liar now becomes also Herod the murderer. And Herod goes from bad to worse. We'll read verses 16 to 23. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. The unexpected plans of Herod failed. His plans did more than fail, though his plans backfired and actually crowned Jesus as everything that the scriptures proclaimed that he would be. One might say that because of Herod's plan, at least three seemingly impossible prophecies came to pass. One, that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. That was prophesied in Micah, that the Messiah would go down to Egypt, and be called out of Egypt. That's found in the prophet Hosea, and that the Messiah would be from Nazareth, and that's prophesied in the book of Isaiah. God actually used the villain Herod to fulfill his promises. God really can work all things together for good for those who love him. And I think that we've all seen in our lives from time to time how this has worked. I know in my own life, I have seen God use sickness to further his plan. I have seen God use difficulty in relationships to further his plan. I have seen God use funerals to further his plan, and have used other tragedies to yet further his plan. I have seen God use what we would consider totally unexpected things to fulfill his unexpected plan. At Christmas, we celebrate the crazy, unexpected events that happened so that the plan of God could be fulfilled in you. Jesus was born. The whole circumstances surrounding that were unexpected. Jesus then lived a sinful life. Jesus died upon a cross, also an unexpected circumstance. Jesus was then buried, but on the third day, he rose again. And Jesus is alive today, and there is no telling what he can do in your life if you totally surrender to him. If you are struggling with something in your life right now that is unexpected, remember that Jesus is not struggling with that. It is not unexpected to him, and he wants to walk with you. If you would like prayer for any reason, there'll be folks up here this morning to pray with you and to meet with you, but what we can mostly say this morning is that we thank God for the gift of salvation that he brought to us, even though it was in a very unexpected way. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you once again for this Christmas season. Help us, Lord, to never forget the true meaning of what this is all about, that we don't get wrapped up in all the hustle and bustle and coming and going and gift giving and so on, but Lord, that we especially treasure the gift that you have given us, the gift of yourself, the gift of salvation. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.